A master of Native American humor is Brooks Hayes of Arkansas, special assistant to the president and former representative in Congress. Here is Mr. Hayes before the Pennsylvania Political Science and Public Administration Association.
I always feel at home with the teachers of government, although I'm not an expert in this field. I am a practitioner. I'm not afraid of experts. I was sitting by a couple in Washington at a dinner party one night when the man who had just met the lady said to her, and you're Mrs. Post? And she said, yes. Mrs. Emily Post? And she said, yes. Well, Mrs. Post, you're eating my salad. My father was himself a country school teacher. And in this connection, I think you'd be interested in what happened when he took the census in 1900. Ask an old man standing in front of his cabin in this frontier country his name. He said, I'm the enumerator, sir, and I need some information. What is your name? He said, Hearn, Randall J. Hearn. Father said, how do you spell it? Spell it yourself, stranger. I'm a non-scholar. This character, Randall J. Hearn, is not a fictional character. He is not legendary, as some members of Congress believe, because sometimes I would quote him in the Foreign Affairs Committee, and occasionally my chairman, Mr. Richards of South Carolina, would turn to me and say, what would Randall Hearn's opinion be on this proposition? And I knew he meant by that, what would the man at the grassroots think? What would the non-scholar have to say about this problem? One of my Republican friends complained over the method adopted by the Democrats in a certain reapportioning problem, and he was rather violent about it. He said, you Democrats are just not fair. Well, I said, looking at some of the things the Republicans do, I would say, you remind me of the country boys playing cards down in Arkansas. He looked over at his friend. He said, play the cards fair, Reuben. I know what I dealt you. Sometimes it is possible for a politician to extricate himself from political pressures. As Claude Swanson said with his famous five rules, the first rule being, when in doubt, do right. You might be interested, incidentally, in those other four rules. I believe I can recall them. He said, first, never buy your ticket till you hear the train whistle. Second, always be strong for something nobody can be against. Then the third one I've indicated. Fourth, never use one word if five will do. Finally, always stick to your party. If the storm comes and the vessel threatens to sink, move the ballast and try to save her. But if she sinks, follow the rats. I rejoice in the trend these days, seeing an academician often leave his cloisters to enter the political arena. That's good. And I think of some very notable careers that have come out of that response that you sometimes make to the lure that is always present. But the little lady in England was asked, you know, who did you vote for? And she said, vote? Oh, I never vote. It only encourages them. Because you believe in precision and in a scientific evaluation of party positions, you do not agree with the little lady who said, when she was asked about the difference between the Tories and the Liberals, oh, she said, the only difference is that the Tories think they're better born, and the Liberals just know they're born better. And I think a book could be written on what the sweet little ladies in England say about politics, or even in Arkansas, because you may have heard the story of the little lady who was voting for the first time when women were given suffrage, and she rode to the polls with her son, who could see she was quite agitated over the prospect of participating in this great experiment in government, government by consent of the governed. And she went in to vote. That attitude of eagerness and anticipation was registered on her countenance. But when she came out and got in the car, it was obvious that she was disappointed, and she was very solemn and grave. As they went home, he said, "Mother, who did you vote for?" She said, "Son, I'll tell you. I looked at the ballot, and there were the names of such good men listed for these offices, such good men, such fine, noble people. I just didn't have it in my heart to vote against any of them. I just wrote at the bottom of the ballot, 'God bless you all.'"